ഭഗവാൻ ശിവായ ഗുരുരൂപിണേ വിദ്യാവതാര സംസിദ്ധേ ശ്രീകൃതാനേക വിഗ്രഹനവായ നമരൂപായ പരമാർത്ഥേക രൂപിണേ സർവജ്ഞാന തമഭേദ ഭാന വേചിത്കനായ തേ സ്വതന്ത്രായ ദയാകൃതായ വിഗ്രഹായ ശിവാത്മനേ പരതന്ത്രായ ഭക്താനാം ഭവ്യാനാം ഭവ്യരൂപിണേ വിവേകിനാം വിവേകായ വിമർശായ വിമർശിനാം പ്രകാശിനാം പ്രകാശായ ജ്ഞാനിനാം ജ്ഞാനരൂപിണേ പുരസ്താത് പാർശ്വയോ പൃഷ്ടേ നമസ്കുര്യാണ പ്രതിഹസ്താമർച്ചിത രൂപേണ ഇതേ ഹിമോദാസനം രഹസ്യത്രയം നൗ വി ആൾ അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് ഹൗ ഫ്രം വൺ പ്രകാശ ബിന്ദു ദി വിമർശ ശക്തി മാനിഫെസ്റ്റഡ് ദി എൻടയർ യൂണിവേഴ്സ് the entire cosmos through the powers of Mahamaya and then the Prakriti Devatas and the whole grand design blueprint. The Jiva is nothing but the seed of the whole and the whole is contained within the Jiva as well. This much is clear to us so far, right? And the Rahasyatrayam has completely explained this very well to us. From the Guru Trayam perspective, Swaguru's responsibility is to make the Shishya realize that he is not the body, is not the mind, is not the intellect, but the Atma within. Swarupa Nirupana Hetu. This concept should have been well drilled down inside us by now. Everybody should realize that. We are not the body, we are not the mind, we are not the intellect, we are the Atma. Okay, with the whole explanation of the Rahasyatrayam, the manifestation of the universe, the Vimarsham from the core point, the Bindu called the Prakasha Bindu or Brahman, is understood. This is nothing but the Swachha Prakasha Vimarsha Hetu. This is the responsibility of the Paramaguru. So my job and your Paramaguru's jobs are taken care of. We have done our jobs already. Okay, now that we all understand that we are nothing but the Atman and we are dwelling here due to the Maya of the Vimarsha Shakti, and we now realize the goal is to merge back to the state of the Brahman. How to do that? This is the key question. How to break away from this Maya here? How to break open this cage? How to merge back to that light? Panjara Vilina Tejase. How is that achieved? This is the responsibility of Parameshti Guru. So, I cannot escape saying, okay, this is Java Parameshti Guru and go away, right? Because they are also within me. So, that has to come to you. So, it's the Guru Mandalam responsibility that explanation also should teach. But the beauty is Devi Mahatmyam has all the answers. So we saw the Rahasyatrayam, which explained the universe making, that blueprint. The 13 chapters gives you the merging back. So this is explained in the 13 chapters of Devi Mahatmyam. So let's look into each one of those in the order. The first chapter is Madhukaitabha Vadam. We all have read the story. We know the story. There's a king called Surata. He was a very good, just king, powerful king, and he ruled the entire universe. But he was defeated by a clan that was just, he had less warriors than him. In fact, when he walked back defeated to his palace, his own ministers became evil and he was unable to tolerate this. So in the disguise of going for a hunt, he retired to a forest and met a rishi called Sumedhas and started living in his ashram. After a few days of dwelling in the ashram, he came across another person called Samadhi, who was literally driven away by his own wife and children. After taking away his own wealth, his hard-earned wealth. So he retired to the forest, dejected by the actions of his family. The irony is, when Samadhi explained the situation to Surata, he said he's worried about how his children and wife are, right? Are they happy with the money, etc.? Surata also said that he had similar feelings too. Why am I worried about my subjects in the kingdom? In fact, he was worried about how the elephants are treated. So it's there in the Prathama Charitra. He was worried about how the elephants are treated by the evil enemies. This made him wonder, why are we feeling this way? And they thought that the best person to answer this question would be Sumedhas. And so they placed their doubts on his feet. Sumedha smiles and says, oh, this is no big deal. It's just your nature. This is the inherent behavior of you and you ought to feel that way. look around, see the animals and birds. They all have inherent intelligence, just like you all do. Look at this mother bird. This is half dead without any food. It is starving. Still, it runs around looking for food for its chicks and feeds them instead of eating itself. That's the inherent nature. So there's nothing to be surprised about how we feel about the folks back home. These are all the words of Mahamaya. Whatever I'm saying, it's all in the chapter. So those are the lines you are reading every single day. These analogies given by Sumedh is talking about this mother bird. All these things are there. Okay? So he's saying it's not a big surprise. That's all the work of Mahamaya. Now this triggered the curiosity of Surata and Samadhi. They asked Sumedh, who is Mahamaya? When and how was she born? Why is she doing all these things? Please explain to us. So that's how they struck this whole questioning. Sumedh explains, she is Nitya, she always existed, and she will exist. So Nitya Vasa, all this exists, all whatever you're seeing, all that exists is her only. And Taya Sarvamidam Tatam. Okay. Something that she is born, but she's always there. Then he tells a story. In the beginning, when the creation was beginning to happen, Vishnu was in his yoga nidra, and from his navel came Brahma. Out of Vishnu's ears, the wax, came two demons, Madhu and Kaitava. They saw Brahma as the only person around and tried to attack him. Seeing this, Brahma started to wake Vishnu to save him. But realizing that he is in his yogic sleep, he started praying to Mahamaya to come to his rescue. So she then helps Mahamaya to Brahma by waking Vishnu. Vishnu, upon seeing the demons, starts to fight with him, with those two people, for 5,000 years. Panchavarsha Sahasrani. Okay. Tired of not being able to win over them, he prays to Mahamaya again. And she plays a trick on the demons, and they, due to the pride that they had, appreciates Vishnu for his valor and grants him a boon. Vishnu quickly thanks them and wishes for their death. Even at that stage, these demons say that they can be killed only when there is no water and only on land. To this, Vishnu puts them on his thigh and then severs their head using his chakra. This completes the first chapter story. That's it. That's the story of the first chapter. So when I first read the story, I was fine until the whole concept of Mahamaya was introduced. But then when I read the whole Vishnu episode, sleeping, some earwax coming out of him and fighting with Brahma, and Mahamaya waking Vishnu, and Vishnu still unable to defeat those two waxes coming out of his own ears. And after they got tricked by Mahamaya, defeats them. I could not relate at all. Oh, what is this? Right? It appeared to be some bekar story. So neither as a story nor as a concept, I was not able to relate to it. So why is this great chapter that glorifies the Mahamaya? When in fact, all she was doing is waking up a person who is asleep. And making two people as something stupid. Also, why are the earwaxes so powerful? So I in fact had more questions than answers, and I did not appreciate the power of Sakti at all in this chapter. I'm sure several of these questions would have occurred to you as well. Most of you must be having these questions. So what could be the real meaning? This is when my real seeking of Devi Mahatmyam started. The power of Chandi Mantram, the grace of the Guru Mandalam, and my beloved Upasana Devata, Chandika Parameshwari herself, beautifully revealed all these things one by one by one. So she peeled the onions for me. But numerous meanings for this chapter. So many meanings. Okay. So let's take few of it. Okay. And then talk about it. So when we are talking about Brahma, Adisesha, Vishnu, Madhu, Kaitava, this milk ocean, etc. It is obvious that creation has started. However, may the states that Yoga Nidra Yada Vishnu Jagatya Karna Vikrite Astirya Secha Bajat Kalpante Bhagavan Prabhu. So this talks about Kalpantam, which means that this is at the end of the Kalpa. So if it is at the end of the Kalpa, then why would Madhu and Kaitava be formed? Why would Brahma be there? And why should he be worried? Because Kalpa is going to end. So he's going to go away anyways. So he should not be worried about it. There should not be any fear for him. So this clearly indicates that At the end of the kalpa means it's really not the end of the kalpa. At the end of the kalpa, when the creation starts, that's the real meaning, because that's when everything is starting to happen. So when you look at the Dasamahavidya, you see the Kali state, right? And then the Tara state. They both are in the Smashana. There is no difference. From the between the Kali state and the Tara state, it's exactly the same state. No difference. The only difference is one is at the end, one is at the beginning. There's one chanam, that spandanam, that is the moment the spandana happened, Tara happens. That's why you see the difference in the color of Tara and Kali. Kali is completely black, dark, while Tara is blue. That lighter blue. Right? So, but they both have Smashana as the back the sitting. They all have the same mandamala and all those things. They have the same like postures and everything. But in the case of Dakshinakali, that Mahakala would be dead. There is no life in Mahakala. In the case of Tara, Akshobha Shiva has life. So that the Spandana has happened. So that's a very similar thing here. Even though it says Kalpantam, it is not really Kalpantam. It's at the end of the Kalpam when the creation has started. So that Kshanam has happened here. Okay, so the Vimarsha Sakti has started her manifestations and Mahamaya has done her primal coat of Prakriti. And the universe creation process has either begun or happened. So that much we can deduce from the story using our logical mind. Okay. Now, what happens to this Ishvara? In the 36 tattvas, apart from the first 5 tattvas, Shiva, Sakti, Sadashiva, Ishvara, Suddha Vidya, right, which are the Suddha tattvas. The next 7 are called Suddha, Ashuddha tattvas. So where is the Suddha and what is Ashuddha in this? In the 7, Maya, Kala, Vidya, Raga, Kala, Nidhi, Purusha. So in these, Maya is the Suddha tattva. It is the perfect Suddha. And the rest are the further manifestation of Kala, Avidya, Raga, Kala, Nidhi. These are all Ashuddhas. What about Purusha? The Ishvara who is just encompassed with Maya. At this time, the process, Srishti has started, but it is still within the seed, within the Ishvara only. So that Maya Avritta Ishvara is called Vishnu in Yoga Nidra. Okay, even in the state, the Ishvara has all the qualities that we attribute to him. What are those qualities? Sarvajnata, which is omniscience, illam arinda, all knowing. Nitya tripta, epodum nirinda tanmai, always fulfilled. Okay, everlasting bliss, contentment, satisfaction. That's nitya tripta, anadi bodha, infinite wisdom, beginningless awareness, consciousness. Okay, kala varavatra, perarim. Swatantrata, independence, perfect freedom, alupta sakti, never depleting power, infinite power, imperishable power, you can call whatever. Ananta sakti, unlimited, varayarukka mudiyadha or aalumai. So those are all the definitions of that 6 shaktis of Brahman. So, but then when this Ishvara gets avrita of avidya, it becomes Purusha. When he is encompassed with Maya, he is still Ishvara. But when he gets into these Kala, Raga, Kala, Nidhi, Avidya and all those things, he is encompassed by Avidya and becomes Purusha. Okay. At the state of Purusha, he forgets his true qualities and relates himself with the limited qualities. Even though by nature this Purusha is none other than the mighty Brahman, he is limited because of the limited existence. How did this great attribute to the Brahman limit itself? Maya is the playful limits, opposite to Anantata. Kala is the opposite to Alupta Sakti. Avidya is opposite to Sarvajnata. Raga is opposite to Nityatripta. Kala is opposite to Anadi Bodha. Niyati is the opposite to Swatantrata. Because you are having your own rules. So with this, we are able to equate the Yoga Nidra Vishnu to the Ishvara. The Brahman that is born with Vishnu is the Purusha in our context. Okay? So this is why we see Brahma getting scared of the demons. Okay? So because he's already limited. He thinks it is limited. He forgot his true nature and qualities and hence was buried. So who are these demons? And why are they seen as Vaksas? So these demons are called Madhu and Kaitava. They came out of Vishnu just like Brahma. Also came out of Vishnu. Now we start the question. Because here Brahma is who? Purusha. Vishnu is Ishvara. So Purusha came out of Ishvara. So why did they all come out of Vishnu? Because Vishnu is in his Yoga Nidra, in the Maya Avrita Ishvara Tattva. So everything that exists has to come out of Ishvara only. So this Mahamaya Shakti is the force behind all this manifestation, but the manifestation is revealed through the Ishvara. Right? Mahamaya herself cannot be related with. It has to come through the Ishvara only. Brahma coming out of Vishnu's navel, sitting on the lotus, writing some books, etc., appears familiar for us. But what are these demons? Why out of the ear? Ear represents Shabdam, Shabda Brahman. Okay? Akasha Sattvam. So we know Akasha is the closest to the state of Brahman. And since creation is happening, the limitations that need to be formed on Purusha also need to come out of this Ishvara through the Akasha Tattvam only. So the natural next step is through the ears. So that's why it is ear. Okay? Why it represents as a wax? Because it is also just natural. You just don't get up in the morning, okay, and then do some sadhana to get your wax in your ears. It just happens. It's natural. Just like you breathe, it happens by itself. So this is indicated to represent that it is a needed natural tendency for creation. But why not as a music or something else? Why does it have to be wax? Because music also coming through the ears only, right? So if it has to come through ear, why should it be a wax? Because it is a mala. Just by turning it as a term, it's a mala. The Purana indicates that it is not something that we should be celebrating. Okay? This should be condemned. Wait, if it is needed for the creation process, why should we condemn it? Because it limits you. This limitation is needed for the universe to function, but it works against for the jiva's liberation. Because now we are going in the opposite direction. From a samhara perspective, it limits you from a jiva's liberation. Okay, so what are those demons then? Madhu and Kaitava, what do they represent? Madhu means nectar or honey. It represents the urge to become many. Okay, Kaitava means it's an insect. It represents the enjoyment of becoming more. So that's natural. It has to happen for the creation to work. So this basically means the urge to reproduce and the enjoyment of the act. Now we can understand that this is the basic need for the creation process. So why is it pouncing on Brahma? There are several angles to this. While looking at the Brahma as a creator, these demons themselves can run the whole universe without the need for the creator. Right? So because these two is enough for the creation to complete and multiply. So Brahma has to worry about his position. So from that angle, it's second. Brahma has Purusha, who is wishing to get back to the Ishvara state, who has to be scared about these demons because it is limiting him from getting back to the Ishvara state. So he's trying to run away from getting absorbed by them. So it makes total sense from a samhara angle. Okay. So who can Brahma pray then? Brahma knows his real destination is Ishvara. He has to get back to the Ishvara state. But in the state when he is engulfed by Maya, so he has no choice but to pray to Maya to wake Vishnu up. So this is interesting. Why would Brahma wake Vishnu? If he realizes that he came out of Ishvara, why can't he pray to Mahamaya and ask her to kill Madhu and Kaitava and make him merge with Vishnu? That he can do, right? He could have said, he's praying to Mahamaya, he is coming and everything helping. Why can't he say, just kill these two wax idiots? Again, let me get back to the Vyayishwara state. He's not doing that. He's only asking, wake Vishnu. Right? So that is an interesting thing. This is where the Tantra Shastra differs from Vedanta. Vedanta acknowledges Maya, but rejects dwelling and dealing with it. Whereas Tantra celebrates Maya and recommends worshipping it to transcend it. So Brahma prays to Mahamaya and asks that Vishnu wakes up from this Nidra. What does it mean when Vishnu wakes up from the Nidra state? It means that he cannot be surrounded by the wheel of Maya. So he has to cut it off. But that wheel is Maya herself. How can he cut it off when it is own Shakti? It's Ishvara's own Shakti is Maya. How can he cut it off? So he can't. But she herself has to go back to the unmanifested state to make that happen. So this is not that easy. These two natural tendencies needed to run the universe. Madhuvan Kaidappa cannot be one of them. Maya herself has to choose to do that. This is why even in the story, even if fighting for 5,000 years, Vishnu could not win them over. They had to succumb themselves to be one over. So this chapter talks about the importance of Maya Upasana. This is why Ratri Suktam is chanted first, and this Brahma Stuti is continued as the considered the Pauranika Ratri Suktam. The Brahma Tom Swaha Sukta Tom here, right? So that is the Pauranika Ratri Suktam. The Ratri here is the darkness that is engulfing the Jiva, which is the Ajnana Avidya. We invite Maya to remove this Ratri, which would automatically mean the light is filled. So Maya Upasana is the technique that is indicated in this chapter for all the Jivas to get out of the wheel of Ajnana and Maya herself. Okay, so that is one meaning. Second meaning, Surata means body. Okay, Samadhi is state of mind. So essentially mind. Medhas is intelligence. Surata's limitation and pains are related to his power, strength. Samadhi's limitations are his emotions. This cannot be addressed without the intellect. So all these people gather together. When these two start to listen to the intellect, then the Jiva start to evolve. So this basically is a story representation of the Kathopanishad Ratha metaphor. I've covered that in one of the lectures, in past lectures, where the chariot, the five Indriyas are the horses, mind is the Kadivadam, right? And then the Buddhi will be the chariot, Atma will be the person inside the Ratham. So I talked about this in detail. So go and listen to that story and you will have that relation here. Okay, let's look at another meaning. So Brahma, as the Purusha, when he worships Mahamaya, he starts like this. Brahma uvacha tvam swaha tvam sada tvam hi vashatkara swaratmika sudha tvam ascare nitye trita matratmika stita trita matra sita nitya yana charya visheshtaha. Okay, so these are all different mantras. So let's ignore that for now. Let's look at the next lines, beautiful lines. Sudhatvam akshare nitye. Okay, so sudha is amrtam, nectar, ananda, sachidananda. State, this is the Anandam state. Sudha is the moksham. You can consider that. Sudhatvam akshare nitye trida matratmika. So you are the moksha state, and then akshram. So you are the all the matra aksharas, and then you are nitya. You are always there, no end. So no adi, no antam. Trida matra. Trida matra. Even Bhaskaraya wrote A U M Trida Matra. Okay, Trida Matra Mika Stita. You are residing in those three aksharas. Okay, Artha Matra Sita. So even without Matra, even the other subtle state, you are there. Artha Matra Sita Nitya, again, you're always there. Yeah, Anucharya Vishitaha. So that cannot even be chanted. Anucharya means that cannot even be. So you, when you can chant, so Vaikari, you're there. Okay, and then even little subtle sounds, you're there, which is Artha Matra. Then even without that, you're there. That cannot be chanted. You're there. Artha Matra Chitamata, Anucharya Chitamata, Tomeva Sa. Tomeva Sa. What is that Sa here? Okay, so this is that Aum. But I had a different. My gurus revealed a different meaning for that. Okay. So here, Trida Matra is not Auma. Okay. Trida Matra to me is Hara Yi. Hara Yi. Okay. So that is three matras. And Ardha Matra is Okay. Cream. So that is the, because that is Maya Upasana here. So why would they talk about all those Avuma? And then, cream is not just cream. We have talked about it, Parivashyanakasthi. Okay, so that there are so many states from here to there, which cannot be talked about. You cannot say it aloud. Cream, and then it has to be gone inside. right? When you say, so that is the anacharya, not the general concept. So he, so whatever you say, the hara, he, and then the in, and then what you cannot be talked about, we cannot even express it or explain or say it aloud, that's that. So what you go through that, you do the maya upasana, do it properly, then what happens? Tomeva sa, what is sa? You are only that. What is a that? What is the mahavakya that? Tattvamasi is that. Tattvamasi, whatever is that in mahavakya, that is that you. So that is the Brahma. So that's what is said. Tvam Savitri, Tvam Deva Janani Para. So you are the actual Para and you are the Brahman. And you can be reached through that Himkara Upasana. So this is another meaning. Let's peel the onion even more. Okay. When Vishnu fought with the demons for 5,000 years, and finally with the help of Mahamaya, made them grant a boon. Dehimatmya says, Tavak Pyadim Balon Matto Mahamaya Vimohito Uktavanto Rasmato Vriyatamiti Keshavam. Tau api, they now, atibala unmato, due to the pride in their great strength, Mahamaya vimojito, engulfed with the power of Mahamaya, Keshavam, Chakeshava, Uktau tau, they said, Asmatvaram, Vriyatam, Asmarabhu from us. So this pride and ego, when it got into them due to the power of Mahamaya, they couldn't even differentiate between friends and foes. Right? When you get, they were fighting. For 5,000 years. They know that Madhu and Kedava know Vishnu is the enemy, they are fighting with him. And this Mahamaya power comes in, the pride, when it takes over a person, they can't even differentiate between the friend and foe, and they are giving the boon to the enemy itself. They have to think cheap of their enemy or must have lost their senses. So when Mahamaya takes you over, you lose your senses. Since Vishnu is awake, it means that Ishvara knows that he's Ishvara and his Shakti Mahamaya is in action. So he uses the same power of his Shakti to ask the right boon. The same Shakti that made the demon lose their sense made Vishnu to come to his sense. You see the difference? So Madhu and Kedava, the same Maya Shakti, they lost the senses because of her. And using the same thing, Vishnu got his senses. He was sleeping and he came back and he asked the right boon from them. So this is the beauty of Tantra Upasana, where you're trained to use the virus to treat the virus. Remove the thorn with the thorn. Same Maya need to be used to win the Maya over. So immediately Vishnu asks, Bhaveta Madhyame Tushto Mamavadya Ubhavapi. Adya now Ubhavapi. Both also be due to me. Tushto, you're happy. Right? You guys are happy because of me. Mamavadya, you become destroyable by me. So he immediately asks the boon to them. This is again the same Maya Upasana. Now these demons realize their mistakes and look around. Vanchita abhyam idada sarama abhobayam jagate vilokyata abhyam gandito bhagavan kamalekshanaha avam jahina yatrorvi salilena pariprutha. So they now realize, they looked around, it's full of water. There is no ground anywhere. Because creation is just happening. So there is no water there. So he's saying, okay, kill me when there is land, when there is no water. So now they realize the mistake and quickly came back to senses and tried to grant an intelligent boon. They can be killed when there is no water. Now this is very interesting. How can these Madhu and Kedava be killed when this Srishti is happening? They are needed for the Jagat to function. We have to realize that Devi Mahatmyam should be seen from both Srishti and Samhara angles. We have seen enough of Srishti Kramas, the manifestation of Imarsha Shakti. But when you are looking from a Samhara Krama, then we should see it as a Purusha and Isura angles only. What is this water? It is the fluid nature, the mind. So when mind is running around, the jiva is engulfed with the power of mind. There is no way Madhu and Kedava can be killed. That's the meaning. Okay, so when there's water always, when this mind is completely running, you cannot kill Madhu and Kedava. So the technique is to control the fluidity of the mind and make the focus like rock solid. If that happens, then it is possible to cut the malas of Madhu and Kedava. Instantly. Lam is the Prithvi Bijam, that's the earth. But to kill it, it has to be transformed by some other entity to attain the permanent bliss. And this is the clean Bijam. So from the Maya Upasana, leading to the clean kara of vasana, and these both are possible only by the aimkara jnanam, which is the aim, that resulting in aim being clean, the bijatraya upasana. There is another meaning for a proper focus of mind with the prativitatvam. Ganapati upasana is prescribed as a technique, glaum bijam. Okay, there is one more meaning. Since chakra is cutting, I am getting on a Vishnu slab. Sudarshana mantra upasana along with Ganapati upasana is also prescribed. So we can keep on going like this, a never ending process. We have enough techniques now. I have given you so many techniques to cut down that fluidity of the mind, how Maya upasana is the key. So Hrimkara mantra is not an easy mantra. Okay, so it's not a joke. So Hrim is only, just Hrim is enough. And then we also see all the power of the Aim being clean, coming together, acting together to kill the Madhuvan Kedama. That is the first step. We have that technique. Okay, Sundar, first technique. And I've explained about the Mahakali, why Mahakali and all the six for this chapter, the weapons and everything. So we'll go chapter by chapter in the coming weeks. We'll cover all the 13 chapters, how they are related, technique by technique. There are several techniques that are revealed. Okay, so with this, we complete today's session. Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Deva Maheshwara, Guru Sakshat Parabrahma, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.